but I'm just curious how you would answer the question is, have you faced an intense battle lately? If you don't know it, the answer is yes. I have a book on my shelf, my bookshelf. I was tempted to bring along just to show as a reference, but it's an A.W. Tozer book. The title is This World, Playground or Battlefield? Curious. Anybody read the book? No? Okay. And on the cover, it's a few children playing on a cannon. So, like, you know, you visit Gettysburg or something like that, and you see all the cannons or memorials and children playing on cannons. And that book is a sobering reminder that, or the intent of the book is a sobering reminder that this world is all about a battle. So I said I know the answer. And sometimes battles are more intense than others. Sometimes they're more visible than others. Sometimes you know you're in them. But we know that there is a war raging. And we are well equipped to be victorious. Everyone that names the name of Jesus Christ is well equipped to be victorious. In fact, Jesus already won the war. But the battles continue. The church will prevail. Don't ever doubt that. Sometimes it's like, wow, the church, yes, it will. The church will prevail. The church is victorious. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. That's a fact. And the spiritual armor is available. Ephesians 6 says, just take it, put it on. And we're also given weapons, the weapon of the word, the weapon of prayer, the weapon of praise. So what I'd like to do is a very short meditational thought. Is I would like to talk about the weapon of praise. The weapon of praise. In 2 Corinthians, if you want to text 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, I was reading over this chapter this morning, and I know I'm just dropping in and grabbing a verse. It's a powerful truth that's tucked away in a chapter where Paul is doing a lot of things. He's talking about himself. He's talking about some of the conflicts that he's involved in. He talks about a specific thing in the church at Corinth. But he says in verse 3, he says in chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Then verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations of every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, brings into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Wow. So, what I just like to encourage our hearts in this morning is the weapon of praise, or the power of praise. This is an underrated weapon. Yesterday, I'd be curious or inclined to ask how many of you walked out with a weapon yesterday. Some of us went deer hunting yesterday and we walked with a weapon, and we had a special intention for that weapon. Maybe you used it, maybe you didn't. Maybe it worked, maybe it didn't. But the weapon of our, not hunt yesterday, but our life, the warfare. That's why I said this life is all about a battlefield. I really wonder if I'm talking to myself, if I really understand the war that I am intensely in. And if I understand that the weapon that I am using in the war is not carnal, it's a spiritual weapon. And I'm going to refer to just a few stories, okay? So my goal in these few minutes is I want us to know the power of praise so that you use the weapon, this weapon, in your battle. I want us to know the power of praise so that you use the weapon of praise in the battle. So there's a story of Jehoshaphat. If you're making notes, I don't have time to turn to these scriptures. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verses 21 to 22. But you know the story of Jehoshaphat, an intriguing story. So he started out real good, then made a very unfortunate alliance with Ahab that cost him. And it wasn't a very pretty picture, but then chapter 18, chapter 19, chapter 20 is a revival. He brought God's people together in the aftermath of that unfortunate alliance with Ahab. And they were going out to battle. Jehoshaphat did something very interesting. It says that he appointed singers to go before the army. Now get that. We talk about front lines. I visit the mission field, and I refer to them. Hey, you guys are in the front lines. You're in the intense. So when there's a battle, the front line is going to have the most opposition. Jehoshaphat appointed singers to go on the front line before the army, and he told them to go and praise the beauty of holiness. That's what it says. That's what they were supposed to do. They were leading the army, and they were to praise the beauty of holiness. Now, I'm pretty sure that they didn't take that flippantly. I'm pretty sure that they didn't carry all kinds of internal baggage on the front line. I'm pretty sure that they were intent about living a life of holiness because they were praising the beauty of holiness. But there they were, front line. You know what? You know how the story unfolds. The enemies were that discomfited that there was internal strife among the enemies that the Lord's army hardly did a thing. In fact, God had told them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. This is about me, not about you. And it took them, the victory was that complete that it took them 3 days to gather all the spoil of the enemies. 3 days. What do we attribute this to? Of course, God, the God of heaven. But I find it so interesting that in the Word, we are told that Jehoshaphat appointed singers to go on the front lines and praise the Lord. And they were saying, praise the Lord, his mercy endures forever. That, to me, is an incredible story that reinforces the power of praise. I want us to know the power of praise so that we use it in our battles. I wonder if Jehoshaphat, let me back up. Why did Jehoshaphat do that? Maybe, just maybe, he knew about David. Maybe he knew the story about the first king, Saul, who departed from the Lord and was taking steps in disobedience to the Lord while maintaining a position where everything's cool, everything's great, everything's fine. But I don't know, I can't unpack the entire story, but he was plagued by an evil spirit. And I'm telling you, the palace wasn't a pretty place to be. In fact, they didn't know what to do in the palace. They said, what do we do? Somebody says, I know somebody that has some amazing ability in music. Let's bring him in and see what happens. Fair, let's do it. David, come with me. Go unto the king. Really? That's where my destination is. I think it's a little premature. And he goes before Saul, and it wasn't pretty to be in there. And he starts with his harp and probably a song, and it says he began to play, and it says Saul was refreshed and the evil spirit went away. I wonder if Jehoshaphat knew the story. And I wonder if he knew that there's power in praise. And I wonder if Jehoshaphat said, let's give that a try. Fast forward, Jesus in the garden. No, I'm sorry, before he went to the garden. Jesus with his disciples. If you want to read something really heart, that pulls on your heartstrings, read the Last Supper, and Jesus knowing that one of his friends is going to betray him, and just go do your thing, Judas. And then it says that before they went to the Mount of Olives, you know what they did? Somebody tell me. Exactly, sang a hymn. Jesus entering his darkest hour. We're talking about battles. Jesus entering the darkest hour of his life. He got his disciples together. I would have loved to hear it. Wonder which one it was. They sang a hymn. Fast forward again. Paul and Silas, you know the story, Acts 16. Beaten, thrown in prison. At midnight. Hey, let's pray. Sure, they prayed. Let's sing. Yeah. And while they sang, an earthquake that brought freedom and also brought conversion to the Philippian jailer and also brought the beginning of the Philippian church, who later Paul was going to write to and say, I don't know how many times, rejoice in the Lord. That's a theme of Philippians. And finally in chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So the power of praise, that's what I'm aiming at this morning, the power of praise. I want us to know the power of praise so that we use it in our battles. I ask you if you're in a battle. I know the answer. Sometimes I forget it. We're in a battle. I want us to use the power of praise. I remember in Grenada, we went, and forgive me if I told you this story 15 times. I'm old enough to repeat stories a lot of times. So we were having a song service out at a point by the ocean. And I was so disappointed at the turnout that night. Just about, it seemed like just a handful of us got together and feebly sang a song or two or three. And out of the shadows emerged a person. And this, I'll never forget it, her name was Patty. She came, and she actually walked right up to us, and she said, I was standing on the precipice. I couldn't deal with life anymore, and I was ready to jump. And I heard a song, and I thought, I'm going to see what it was. And long story short, we ended up spending quite a bit of time with Patty. Whether she was going to do it, I don't know, but that's what she said. I'm talking about the power of praise. Okay, we have a lot of children, a lot of moms here. I remember our days, those days of children crying at night are becoming a memory. And believe it or not, that will be your lot in life one day too. It'll be a memory. But for the moment, it just seems, can I say a battle? I don't know how many times I remember hearing a child crying in the middle of the night and Joyce singing a song, rocking a crying child singing a song. I want to tell you something. There's power in praise. I have a few children here, so I got to be careful on this one, but it's no secret that we discipline our children, okay? And discipline scenarios are not actually picnics, right? Or maybe you enjoy them. Disobedience always brings unhappiness, always. And it's a discipline session. You discipline, and then you, often what we did is we would sing one verse of trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Again, they're becoming memories, and they will become memories for you too. But in the moment, they're battles. They are. I'm talking about the power of praise. Trust and obey. In the middle of a temptation, and you're going to have them. You will have they're different for every one of us. Try, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. It's pretty hard to proceed with a temptation if you say, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. This victory will help me some other to win. Fight manfully onward. Dark passions subdue. I can't finish it, but the power of praise. I want us to use the power of praise. Use it personally. Use it corporately. I want us to know the power of praise so that we use this weapon in our battle. So, when you know you're in the middle of a battle, try it. try the power of the blood. There's so many different songs that you can sing, but it is a fact. There is power in praise. So I think with that, maybe I'll just have a prayer, and then Lee, you can lead us in a song, and we'll turn it over to the Cornerstone Choir. I'm looking forward to how the Lord is going to minister to us through their program, and you can feel free to introduce yourself however you see fit. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We know there's power in praise, and I pray that you'll drive it deeply into every one of our hearts this morning. And we pray that you would be exalted and glorified in the remainder of this service as we praise you through song. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, chorister, a song, and then we'll turn it over to the Cornerstone Choir.